Welcome to Zichu Dav Siman Mam Rabbi Avraham Goldar and Maseches Chulin Dav Zayin. The first parak called Shechitin. The Zichu Maseches Chulin program has been generously sponsored anonymously to help bring a lasting kinyan of Torah to Lomdei Daf Yomi worldwide. So the three topics are going to focus on number one, the Gemara related three incidents in which Rabbi Zera did not accept that Atzadik could have eaten forbidden foods. Ashta behemten shal tzaddikim in a Kodesh Baruch Hu may be tekal yadon. If even regarding the animals of tzaddikim, a Kodesh Baruch Hu does not bring a pitfall through them, tzaddikim atzman ul kol shekein, is it not certain that the same would hold true for tzaddikim themselves? The background story for this principle is presented. Rabbi Pinchas ben Yori was traveling to perform pidyon shvuyin, and upon reaching the Ginai River, he demanded that a split from to pass. Rabbi Pinchas prevailed over the river's objections and compelled it to split for a Jew carrying wheat to make matzah for Pesach and for an Arab escort. Rabbi Yosef commented that Rabbi Pinchas was as great as Moshe Rabbein, who split the Yamsuf. They reached an inn, and his donkey refused to eat the barley given to it, despite their attempts to sift it. Rabbi Pinchas suggested the maaser may not have been removed, and when they removed it, the donkey ate it. Rabbi Pinchas said, "Ani azo holeches la'asos razon kona. This poor creature is going to fulfill its master's will. V'atem machino son tavalim, and you feed it tevel?" Point number two, Rabbi went out to greet Rabbi Pinchas ben Yori and asked him to dine with him. Although Rabbi Pinchas consented, events led to his avoiding it, which was against his practice. Rabbi wept and said, "If during tzaddikim's lifetimes, HaKadosh Baruch Hu fulfills their will to this extent, how much more so after their deaths?" This is based on Rabbi Chama bar Chanina's principle. Gedolin tzaddikim b'misasan yosim b'chayen. The tzaddikim are even greater in their death than they are in life. This is derived from the incident in which a false prophet's body was thrown near Elisha and it came back to life when it touched Elisha's bone, whereas during Elisha's lifetime, an entire process was required to bring a child back to life. The false prophet's resurrection could not have been merely to fulfill Eliyahu's bracha that Elisha should have a double portion of Eliyahu's spirit and resurrect a second person because the man didn't live long enough to go home. Instead, that was fulfilled when he healed Naaman's saras because a matzora is like a dead person. And point number three, Rabbi Chanina said that the pasuk ein od milvado, there's none beside him, includes even kshafim, sorcery, which cannot harm someone unless it was decreed upon him. A woman once attempted to take dust from under Rabbi Chanina's feet to perform sorcery against him. He told her she would be unsuccessful because the Torah says ein od milvado. Rabbi Chanina said, ein adam nokev etzbo milamata, el im ken machrizin olav milamala. A person does not stub his toe down below on earth unless they first decreed it upon him from above. As the pasuk says, may Hashem mitzadeh gever konenu. By Hashem are strong man's footsteps established, and ba'adam ma'yavin darko. And what does a man understand about his path? Rabbi Elezer said, dam nikov maratza kadam ola. The blood of stubbing one's toe atones like the blood of an ola. Rava gives three qualifications to Golda Yomin. This applies to stubbing the right big toe, with which he walks with greater force, Benikov Sheni, and to the second stubbing before the first was healed, both of which make the injury more painful, Behudika Azgul Dvar Mitzvah, and only if it occurs when he's going to perform a matter of a mitzvah. So once again, the 3 points are, number one, the Gemara related three incidents in which Rabbi Zera did not accept that a tzaddik could have eaten forbidden foods. Ashta behemten shal tzaddikim in a Kodesh Baruch Hu may be tekal yadon. If even regarding the animals of tzaddikim, a Kodesh Baruch Hu does not bring a pitfall through them, tzaddikim atzman ul kol shekein, is it not certain that the same would hold true for tzaddikim themselves? The background story for this principle is presented. Rabbi Pinchas ben Yori was traveling to perform pidyon shvuyin, and upon reaching the Ginai River, he demanded that a split from to pass. Rabbi Pinchas prevailed over the river's objections and compelled it to split for a Jew carrying wheat to make matzah for Pesach and for an Arab escort. Rabbi Yosef commented that Rabbi Pinchas was as great as Moshe Rabbein, who split the Yamsuf. They reached an inn, and his donkey refused to eat the barley given to it, despite their attempts to sift it. Rabbi Pinchas suggested the maaser may not have been removed, and when they removed it, the donkey ate it. Rabbi Pinchas said, "Ani azo holeches la'asos razon kona. This poor creature is going to fulfill its master's will. V'atem machino son tavalim, and you feed it tevel?" Point number two, Rabbi went out to greet Rabbi Pinchas ben Yori and asked him to dine with him. Although Rabbi Pinchas consented, events led to his avoiding it, which was against his practice. Rabbi wept and said, "If during tzaddikim's lifetimes, HaKadosh Baruch Hu fulfills their will to this extent, how much more so after their deaths?" This is based on Rabbi Chama bar Chanina's principle. Gedolin tzaddikim b'misasan yosim b'chayen. The tzaddikim are even greater in their death than they are in life. This is derived from the incident in which a false prophet's body was thrown near Elisha and it came back to life when it touched Elisha's bone, whereas during Elisha's lifetime, an entire process was required to bring a child back to life. The false prophet's resurrection could not have been merely to fulfill Eliyahu's bracha that Elisha should have a double portion of Eliyahu's spirit and resurrect a second person because the man didn't live long enough to go home. Instead, that was fulfilled when he healed Naaman's saras, because a matzora is like a dead person. And point number three, Rabbi Chanina said that the pasuk ein od milvado, there's none beside him, includes even kshafim, sorcery, which cannot harm someone unless it was decreed upon him. A woman once attempted to take dust from under Rabbi Chanina's feet to perform sorcery against him. He told her she would be unsuccessful because the Torah says ein od milvado. Rabbi Chanina said, "Ein adam nokev etzbo milamata, el im ken machrizin alav milamala. A person does not stub his toe down below on earth unless they first decreed it upon him from above, as the pasuk says, 'May Hashem mitzadeh gever konenu.' By Hashem are strong man's footsteps established, and ba'adam mayavin darko. And what does a man understand about his path?" Rabbi Elezer said, "Dam nikov maratzik dam ola. The blood of stubbing one's toe atones like the blood of an ola." Rava gives three qualifications to Gola Yomin. This applies to stubbing the right big toe, with which he walks with greater force, Benikov Sheni, and to the second stubbing before the first was healed, both of which make the injury more painful, Hudika Azgul Dvar Mitzvah, and only if it occurs when he's going to perform a matter of a mitzvah. All right, so now we go to Siman Dav Zayin, and our standard Siman is a Kli Zayin, a weapon. We often use a gun or armed guards in the Siman. So here goes. The armed guards who escorted the donkey belonging to a tzaddik through a split river and were shocked that the donkey refused to eat tevel had a good laugh when some menacing armed guards couldn't even hurt the big toe of the boy revived from the dead by touching the grave of a Navi, because it wasn't decreed from above that he should suffer. Once again, slow motion. The armed guards, that must be on Daf Zayin, Kli Zayin, weapon, gun. The armed guards who escorted the donkey belonging to a tzaddik through a split river and were shocked that the donkey refused to eat tevel, which reminds us, the Gemara related three incidents in which Rabbi Zera did not accept that a tzaddik could have eaten forbidden foods. Ashta behemton shel tzaddikim ein HaKadosh Baruch Hu mevi takal yadan. If even regarding the animals of tzaddikim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu does not bring a pitfall through them, tzaddikin atzman ul kol shekein, is it not certain that the same would hold true for righteous people themselves? The background is the story of Rabbi Pinchas ben Yair and the split river, followed by his donkey refusing to eat tevel. So the armed guards who escorted the donkey belonging to a tzaddik through a split river and were shocked that the donkey refused to eat tevel had a good laugh when some menacing armed guards couldn't even hurt the big toe of the boy revived from the dead by touching the grave of a Navi, which reminds the Gemara teaches Rabbi Chami Bar Chanina's principle, Gedoin Tzedikim B'Misasan Yosim B'Chayen, that Tzedikim are even greater in their death than they are in life, which is derived from the story of the false Navi who was revived from the dead when his body touched the bones of Elisha. During Elisha's lifetime, an entire process was required to bring a child back to life. So the armed guards who escorted the donkey belonging to a tzaddik through a split river and were shocked that the donkey refused to eat tevel had a good laugh when some menacing guards couldn't even hurt the big toe of the boy revived from the dead by touching the grave of a Navi, because it wasn't decreed from above that he should suffer, which reminds us we're one that Yisurim are ordained from heaven and atone like an olah. Rabbi Chanina said, "Ein adam nokev etzbo milamata, el im ken machrizin olav milamala. A person does not stub his toe down below on earth unless they first decreed it upon him from above." So once again, the armed guards who escorted the donkey belonging to a tzaddik through a split river and were shocked that the donkey refused to eat tevel had a good laugh when some menacing guards couldn't even hurt the big toe of the boy revived from the dead by touching the grave of a Navi, because it wasn't decreed from above that he should suffer. All right, so now it's time for our four Ba'abach Hazara. Daf Gimel. So the similar Daf Gimel is a gamal, a camel. So here goes. The Kusi took a break from shechting camels. Camels? That must be on Daf Gimel, gamal. The Kusi took a break from shechting camels to shecht cows and was being checked on by the Yotzi v'nichnas Mashgiach, which reminds us, Abai says, the Mishnah's first phrase means that Almei shecht lechachila, including a Kusi, but only when a Yisrael stands over him to supervise. But if the Mashgiach goes in and out intermittently and does not see the entire shechita, we do not allow him to shecht because Kusim do not hesitate to feed Nevela to Jews since they don't accept that Lifnei Iver Lotita Mikshol prohibits doing so. So the Kusi took a break from shechting camels to shecht cows and was being checked on by the Yotzi v'nichnas Mashgiach, was joined by Yisrael Mumer L'Teavon, who said he can shecht too if the Mashgiach checks the knife, which reminds us, Ravashi explains that the Mishnah means that all may shecht l'charchila, including a Yisrael Mumer, a Jewish renegade, which is one who regularly transgresses a prohibition. The Gemara clarifies that he refers to a Mumer L'Echol Nevelos L'Teavon, to eat Nevela for enjoyment, meaning when he can't obtain kosher meat, about whom Rava ruled, Bodik Sachim Venosinlo. One examines the knife and gives it to him to shecht with, and is permitted to eat from a shechita, since he would only eat kosher meat when it's available. So the Kusi took a break from shechting camels to shecht cows, and was being checked on by the Yotzei of Nichnas, Mashgiach, was joined by a Mumi Yisrael at Tehavon, who said he can shecht too if the Mashgiach checks the knife, which of course he knew how to do, because he was both a mumcha and a muchsak, which reminds us Ravina's first explanation is that the Mishnah means all mumchin, experts in halachas of shechita, may shecht lechadchila. Mumchin v'afu pishe en muchzakin. This applies to all experts, even though they're not established as competent in the skill of shechita, meaning that they do not grow faint and pause during shechita. Daf dalet, so the simran daf dalet is a delet, a door. So here goes. By the door, that must mean we're on daf delet, door. By the door of the Kusi Matzah Bakery that had a medatikin by Yosem Yisrael, Hekshir, which reminds us, the Gemara brings Malchukas Tanaim in a Brisa. The Tanakhama says, matzah baked by a kusi is permitted, and one can be yotzi the mitzvah of matzah with it, meaning we can even assume it was guarded from becoming chametz, with shame matzah mitzvah. Rabbi Eliezer forbids her matzah because we cannot rely on them that it did not become chametz. Rabbi Shimon Gamliel says, kol mitzvah shechiziku bakusim, any mitzvah which the kusim have established for themselves, harbi medaktikim ba yosim Yisrael, they are far more careful about them than Jews are. So by the door of the Kusi Matzah Bakery that had a medatikim ba yosir miyisrael hekshir, the mumer switched his forbidden chametz with a non-Jew after Pesach, which reminds us, we learned that a mumer Yisrael will shavik heter va'achu isura. He doesn't abandon the potential to eat permitted food and instead eat forbidden food. It was taught in the Brisa of the chametz of Ovrei Avera, transgressors, who do not destroy their chametz before Pesach, Acher Pesach Mutar Miyad is permitted to others immediately after Pesach, Mifnesh and Machlifin, because they exchanged their forbidden chametz for the permitted chametz of non-Jews. Although making this exchange is itself prohibited, the received chametz remains permitted to others. So by the door of the Kusi Matzah Bakery, that had a medatikim by Yosem Yisrael, Hekshir, the mumer switched his forbidden chametz with a non-Jew after Pesach, so he could bring it to the Suda where a righteous king was eating the meat, shechted by a wicked king, who was a mumer, L'avodah Zarah, which reminds us, Ravanan quoted Shmuel, Yisrael mumer L'avodah Kochavim, a Jew who is a mumer regarding idolatry, mutu l'echo mishchitaso, it's permitted to eat from a shechita because we find that Yehoshaphat Melch Yehuda ate from Achaz feast. Daf Hey, so the simon Daf Hey is hay or a haystack. So here goes. The mumer lecho chalev, who was viewed like an animal eating hay. Hey, that must be on Daf Hey. The mumer lecho chalev, who was viewed like an animal eating hay, was still allowed to bring a carbon, unlike his friend the mumer lenasech yain, who was not, which reminds us, the Gemara discusses which types of mumer cannot bring a carbon. So the mumer lecho chalev, who was viewed like an animal eating hay, was still allowed to bring a carbon, unlike his friend the mumer lenasech yain, who was not, especially if he brought it for eating dum, which reminds us, the Gemara brings machlokes about a mumer lecho chalev bringing a chatas for eating dum. The Tanakhama holds his carbon is not accepted since he's a mumer, but Rabbi Shimon holds it is, since he would have refrained from consuming the blood had he known it was forbidden. The Gemara explains why several psukim are necessary to disqualify a mumer from bringing an ola and a chatas. So the mumer lecho chalev, who was viewed like an animal eating hay, was still allowed to bring a carbon, unlike his friend the mumer lenasech yain, who was not, especially if he brought it for eating dum. Watch as a kusi got chased out of the barn because Rav Gamliel on his basin made a gezerah forbidding the shechita of a kusi, even with the Yisrael watching, which reminds us, Bar Kabar was quoted as saying, Rav Gamliel based in Nimnu al Shechitas Kusi v'Asrua, Rav Gamliel and his basin voted about the shechita of a kusi and prohibited it, and this is even with the Jew watching. Dav Vav, so the siman Dav Vav is a sword because a Vav is straight, like a sword. So here goes. While Rabbi outside used his sword, that must mean we're on Dav Vav. While Rabbi outside used his sword to smash a dove-shaped idol and bottles of kusi wine while declaring kusim ovdu kochavim gemurim, which reminds us, Rav Meir prohibited wine of kusim when he heard they were worshipping an idol in the shape of a dove on Har Grizim, and later Amoraim decreed that they are ovdu kochavim gemurim, which signifies that they cannot be mavat rishus, they can't relinquish their property rights like a Jew regarding the laws of Erev, rather, their property must be rented like an idolater's. So while Rabbi outside used his sword to smash a dove-shaped idol and bottles of kusi wine while declaring kusim ovde kochabim gemurim, his colleague sat inside an inn eating a bowl of taruvish shaldamai, which reminds us, Rabbi Zer Rabasi visited an inn, and the innkeepers, who were amei arts, brought them roasted eggs mixed with wine. Rabbi Zer didn't eat it, but Ravasi ate it without taking off meiser from the wine. Rabbi Zer asked him if he wasn't concerned about taruvish damai, a mixture containing damai, and Ravasi said he didn't realize. Rabbi Zera didn't accept that HaKadosh Baruch Hu would allow someone righteous like Ravasi to inadvertently consume forbidden food, and subsequently found a Mishnah which permits a dish with wine and other ingredients mixed in. So while Rabbi outside used his sword to smash a dove-shaped idol and bottles of kusi wine, while declaring kusim ovdei kochavim gemurim, his colleague sat inside an inn eating a bowl of tarobush al damai, next to a yeshiva bachi using a small sword to discreetly take meiser from the dish he was served, since he was concerned the innkeeper switched his food for hers. Which reminds us, the Gemara brings exceptions where we are concerned lachalufe, for exchange. For example, a yeshiva student who gives food to his innkeeper to prepare must separate meiser again from the finished product, because she rationalizes and says, let the yeshiva student eat the warm food and I'll eat the cold food. All right, so now it's time to conclude with our pop quiz of 10 questions. Which stuff do you learn that one is permitted to eat from the shechita of a mumra l'avodah zorah, which is proven from Yehoshaphat Melech Yehuda eating from Achas feast? That's on Daf. Solid. Good. Number 2. Which stuff do you learn that a person does not stub his toe down below on earth unless they first accrete it upon him from above? That's on Daf. Zion. Good. Number 3. Which stuff do you learn Gedolim Tzadikim b'misasan yosem v'chayen from the story of the Nevi Sheker's body touching the bones of Elisha and then coming back to life? That's on Daf. Zion. Good. Number 4. Which stuff do you learn that Tarovis of Damai is permitted? That's on Daf. Vav. Good. Number 5. Which stuff do you learn the story about Rabbi Pinchas ben Yair's donkey not eating tevel? That's on Daf. Zion. Good. Number 6. Which stuff do we learn that Rabbi Meir prohibited wine of kusim and Amorai made them ko'ovdei kochavim gemurim? That's on Daf. Vav. Good. Number 7. Which stuff do you learn that one who learns the Torah of achatas is as if he brought achatas? That's on Daf. Kufyud. Good. Number 8. Which stuff to discuss which types of mumra cannot bring a carbon? That's on Daf. Hey. Good. Number 9. Which stuff to learn that a mumra is oshavik heter of akhli yisura and will exchange prohibited chametz for permitted chametz? That's on Daf. Dalad. Good. Number 10. Which stuff to learn that vowing erechin and nadarim is not lechetchila? That's on Daf. Days. Excellent. That concludes today's shiur. This is Rabbi Avraham Goldar from Zichru, wishing you a great day and great learning.